When your air conditioner quits, you need it fixed. Fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Let's get into the details now. At least 12.
When your air conditioner quits, you need it fixed. Fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
People have been confirmed dead and several others injured following a three-vehicle collision at Konongo Dumasi near the Anglican Basis School in the Ashanti region. The crash involved a tomato-laden cargo truck, a passenger bus, and an empty fuel tanker. Preliminary investigations indicate the accident may have been triggered by a wrongful overtaking attempt that led to a head-on collision. Fire service rescued trapped victims and transported the injured to nearby hospitals. We'll be getting the latest from my colleague Ohim Interior, but let's listen to some eyewitnesses.
We tell him we said down 2 stories. We saw no free down hole. Hey, but that tanker is here, sir. No, he taking the far tanker. No, he taking the far hole. We see a car, you know. Once we are in front of the van, sir. Or the boom. A man for me, I said, oh, move, you're my boy. I'm a clamatar, I'm a man. There's so more. There's so more. Papa, baby, be now, then, well, been in a bad one, so I'm in India. Been for you, and I'm not going to be in the car. But that bus driver knew me. He knew what we planned at that time. We told his car, mate, in the inn, you can't need to plan. Now you're not here for yourself. Now that's the end of the papa, and then now we're going.
As a civilian or as a good citizen, I rush here to come and take care of the victims, those who are part of the accident. And we rescue about so many people in the bus, but unfortunately, 12 people died instantly. This is not the first time. You can just check on my hair, my forehead. You can see that there is a mark here. Coming Saturday, 1 month, I got accident from here. This the same place.
Papa accident in a week, be an accident. So I go home to in a car, who has a car. We have an accident. So accident there. We who the week accident. So week be accident.
So let's go to that particular site and speak to my colleague Ohim Interior, who's there to give us the very latest. Ohim, we understand that particular stretch is, particular for accidents. Describe it to us. How does it look like?
Yes, ma'am, you see, this is the spot right on the Kumasi Accra Road. When you are traveling from Nobuwem and you are entering the Odumasi Township, then you have to first confront this hill, and it's very steepy. Immediately you descend, then you also have another hilly landscape to contend with. And this actually affects visibility of drivers who are applying on this stretch, either from Kumasi Accra direction or Accra Kumasi direction. But unfortunately, this is the spot where many of the motorists who ply this stretch always overspeed. Speaking to the Konongo Divisional MTTD Commander, ASP Asare, what he told me was that even yesterday, the accident that was recorded at around 11:30 p.m. was the second to have been recorded on the same spot that has witnessed the accident that claimed 12 lives.
So you are there right now. What do you observe?
At the scene here, you see a lot of tomatoes scattered at the scene. And you also see these bus. I'm told it was traveling from the Volta region to Yeji. So the bus has been picking passengers along the road. When it got here, it was involved in the accident. And lots of personal belongings of passengers are covered all these areas, and it has also attracted both students of the Anglican school that is opposite the accident scene, and also residents who have come all the way from nearby communities to take a glimpse of the accident. Unfortunately, it has also affected movement of motorists. I mean, vehicular traffic on this stretch. This stretch is already known for its heavy vehicular traffic, especially when you are traveling from Kumasi to Accra and then Accra to Kumasi as well. So you could see that there's a slow movement of vehicle around this stretch. And the accident vehicles are all here. The police and the road safety officials are here to clear the scene. So it has affected movement of vehicle on this stretch, Mami Yusin.
Ahimeen, thank you very much for that update. Well, the fire service were the first responders on at the site. ADO1 Alex Kinate is with the public relations outfit of the fire service and joins us on the phone lines. We're grateful for your time, sir. Exactly what did you witness when you got there last night?
So thank you very much. Our officers, upon receiving the call, got to the scene. When they got to the scene, they met a quite chaotic scene with people trying to help other people that been motives trying to rob some of these victims. And so it was quite chaotic. We had to now find a balance between being able to protect the valuable things, the people, and also being able to rescue the people who were trapped. There were people dead and people injured. So we had to divert or channel our energy towards rescuing the people who were injured and be able to bring them out. And so once we need to bring them, all the injured out, then we'll be able to retrieve the bodies of the 12 people who are personally lost their lives.
Also, you said that there weren't ambulances readily available. So how did you transport the injured to the hospital?
So it was quite unfortunate that from what we gathered, the ambulance services, their vehicles there without permission. Within that parameter. And so we have to now fall on center vehicles or some of the public transport to employ the passengers to alight so that we are able to put some of these injured people in the center bus and transport them to the hospital.
Okay. But do we know the current situation? How are they faring now? Do we know?
So with the injured people, we are closely monitoring. We are in touch with the hospitals that are taking care of them. Unfortunately, 30 of these injured people are in very critical condition and receiving treatment. It's our prayer and hope that it stays that way so that we don't put any extra death. But as it stands now, the death toll is still being absorbed.
Grateful for your time. Alex Kinate is with the Ghana National Fire Service. Moving on, this afternoon, an Accra High Court has struck out an application filed by the Attorney General's Department seeking to revoke permission granted to the former Chief Executive Officer of the National Buffer Stock Company, Hanan Abdul Wahab, to travel to London for medical treatment. According to the court, the travel order expired on July 12, rendering the state's application moot and unnecessary for determination. Hanan Abdul Wahab was granted permission to travel on July 4, but was subsequently arrested at the Accra International Airport after prosecutors alleged that he had breached aspects of his bail conditions. Let's go live now to the Accra High Court and speak to legal affairs correspondent Fatal Payaga for more on this. Fatal, so lead counsel for Hanan Abdul Wahab, Godfred Yabuadame, has been reacting to the court's decision. What has he been saying? Fatal, unmute and speak to us. Well, let's hear from the lawyer of Hanan Abdul Wahab, Godfred Yabuadame.
Well, I think first and foremost, the conduct of the state must really be emphasized by you guys. I'm quite surprised that the state will actually behave in this way, conduct itself in a way just to violate a citizen of Ghana in this manner. They, of course, prevented the court order from being obeyed by arresting him and detaining him for the period that you all know, 4 days and four nights. And then deliberately filed a motion and faced it until after the lapse of the order. And I'm surprised that the deputy attorney general will come to court and seeking to revoke another which has lapsed. So clearly that application was incompetent, could not be granted because the order had lapsed. And they orchestrated the lapse of the order because they arrested him, put him in their cells, and they seized his passport for him, prevent him from traveling.
Well, let's try Fatal one more time. Fatal, Mr. Dami appeared dissatisfied with the court's alleged refusal to compel the state to release his client's passport. Did he explain why?
Mami, he did. Basically, he said that it was the court order that his client return his passport to the registry of the court on the 14th of July. But then at the moment, the passport is still in the custody of Iyoko. So he was compelled to, in a way, bring the passport to the registry. But the court isn't doing that. So he said he's baffled by this particular step taken by the state. We can listen to him.
Now, the reason why I'm quite baffled by what the court did today is that, well, the order for the passport to return to registry was actually given by the court. Was part of the court's orders, and both at the time bill was granted to him and also at the time this order for him to travel was granted, that after traveling, he should return the passport by 14 July. And that has not been done because Iyoko arrested him and is keeping the passport. So if the court is only interested in ensuring a compliance with this own order for the passport to return to the court registry, I do not mind. We're not making any application at all to the court for any passport to release. It's up to the court. If the court doesn't want the passport to return again to the registry of the court, so be it. Yeah, at the appropriate time, when there's a need for him to travel, we'll make an application to the court for him to travel. That is all.
But the judge said you know what to do in order to get this passport.
It's up to the court. The judge was concerned about the seizure of the passport by Iyoko, and the judge failed to order Iyoko to return the passport to the registry of the court in compliance with the court's own earlier orders. And even now, the court is not concerned about the compliance of its own earlier orders. I don't have any problem. It's up to the court. They ought to know what to do and to do the right thing. The Republic must not be pleased all the time. It's about time the Republic be called to order.
Well, Fatal, we're also learning that Hanan's £7,000 and other items are still allegedly being held by Iyoko. Did a council address that as well?
Yeah, so, Mami, according to the council, he claims that he doesn't know whether the Iyoko officials have spent the money and all of that because he has been trying so hard to get the money and also some of the items, including two mobile phones, which are still in the custody of Iyoko, but he's not getting that. So, according to him now, what they intend to do is to file an application in order to, compel the Iyoko in order to produce these items to his client.
You cannot arrest a person and seize money, which is on him. They've seized his money. I don't know whether they've spent the money, Iyoko has spent the money or not. The money that was not taken out of the account that they claim was frozen. Clearly, the account that was frozen was not assessed because there was no check written by Hanan to withdraw any money. He borrowed money for his travel, about £7,000 and all, and they've seized it. And they seized it with Iyoko, the executive director. So these are the matters that are pertinent.
And so you are close to your client. How does it feel about all of this situation at the moment?
Well, he's keeping it cool. Definitely he knows that he's not guilty of any crime at all. And in the fullness of time, he'll be vindicated. And that's the most important thing.
And with regards to the arrest, you indicated that no charges have been pressed yet.
Yes.
Something that you're going to follow up?
Yes, so the law gives us a number of options. Enforcement of his fundamental human rights. We can institute an action for unlawful arrest and for damages for all the injury and the harm that has been occasioned him by the unlawful.
And you are there, Godfred Iyebwa Dami, lawyer for Hanan. Now, government has found a strategic investor to help bring Voltastar Textiles in Japan back to life. President Mahama says the investor will visit the factory soon with a transaction advisor to start work on modernizing the plant. The factory built in 1967 under Kwame Nkrumah, Ghana's first president, has been shut for years after production collapsed. The president says the move will create jobs and boost Ghana's textile industry. He was speaking during his research in Ghana tour of the Volta region.
No discussion about Japan can be complete without recognizing the historic contribution of the Volta Star Textile Limited, which for many years symbolized hope, employment, and industrial progress while supporting thousands of families and shaping the community's economic identity. Government is determined to restore the legacy of the Volta Star Textiles Limited. We're going to do this through strategic partnerships, investment mobilization, and modernization of the factory's operations.
While addressing concerns about the factory's raw material supply, the president revealed that government is making arrangements to sign an MOU with the government of Benin to supply cotton for processing at the factory.
Economic corridor. The Volta Economic Corridor will be one of Ghana's most strategic growth corridors by integrating agriculture, manufacturing, aquaculture, logistics, inland water transport, renewable energy, tourism, and export-led industrialization into a single economic ecosystem. And under this ecosystem, it will be a place where production, processing, transportation, and trade reinforces one another. And so communities such as Joapong, with their strategic location and productive capacity, will serve as an important commercial and industrial hub under the Volta Economic Corridor, helping Ghana add greater value to its products before they reach the domestic and international markets.
Well, let's talk to Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbegbeh, who is on tour with the President. Maxwell, the President also says the necessary verification, assessment and administrative processes relating to compensation for persons affected by the Akosombo Dam spillage are being concluded. What are the details? Very briefly. Maxwell, can you hear me? Unfortunately, we are unable to get Maxwell on the line. Well, the National Development Planning Commission has painted a worrying picture of employment in Ghana, describing the country's economic growth as largely jobless. The commission says its 2022 to 2025 annual progress report shows that although Ghana achieved its economic growth target of 6% during the period, the growth did not translate into enough jobs. The annual progress report is part of the NDPC's constitutional mandate to assess whether government's policies are improving the lives of Ghanaians. And Gemma is there and joins us on the line with more. Gemma.
Hello, Mami. So the NDPC just launched its annual progress report, and they looked at six development dimensions, including economic, social, environment, governance, and emergency planning and COVID response. Now, on the economy, they generally said that the economy was in a good position in terms of recovery, and also, the economy was in a good position, but they also talked about the fact that it's a jobless economy because the economy is supposed to be, in terms of its growth, we are supposed to be looking at the development or growth of the industry, but the industry recorded some 2.3% as against the 7% that they targeted. And so it means that the economy is not really providing the jobs that are needed. They also talked about how they got to the findings that they've reached today. They got data from the various ministries, departments and agencies, the regional coordinating councils and the MMDAs, and they submitted the report to the NDPC. They went through the reports and then they came up with a draft, and that's what they have presented now. So this paints a picture of the country which transcends or started from 2022 into 2025. So it covered the period of the previous administration and also 1 year of the present administration, Mami.
All right. Thank you very much, Gemma Pierre, there giving us the latest from the NDPC. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy. Following persistent disagreement between the minority-majority caucuses in Parliament on Wednesday over the decision to hold a closed-door meeting with the Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Johnson Esiama, economist and Professor of Finance at the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Godfred Buckpin says the decision could ultimately undermine confidence in the central bank.
The majority should have allowed the media coverage. The reason is that the central bank, its policies and how it intends to stabilize prices, inflation, exchange rate, part of the process is to also build confidence in the central bank and how it conducts its affairs. So I felt that it was a setback on our democracy, what happened yesterday. In fact, all that happened yesterday will feed into a greater suspicion. Is that okay? And probably undermine confidence in our institutions.
Well, let's also hear from Dr. Rashid Rahman. He's the Executive Director of the Africa Center for Parliamentary Affairs, and he also disagrees with the conditions stated by the majority.
We've made significant progress in our parliament, including even the standing orders now allowing committees to sit in public, even including, I believe, the Committee on Security and Intelligence, except maybe instances where maybe the discussions might compromise national security and so on. Otherwise, and when discussions are being held about monetary policy and issues about exchange rate and so on, I am not too sure whether they fall under anything that has national security implication. Because these are issues that concern all of us. Every day they affect us. If there is no transparency, then the assumption that many people make is that there is something that is being hidden.
You heard there Dr. Rashid Rahman, Executive Director of the African Center for Parliamentary Affairs. Now, the Food and Drugs Authority is raising concerns over the rising rate of obesity among women in Ghana, with prevalence increasing from 10% in 1993 to 43% in 2022. According to the WHO report, the rise is being driven by the increasing consumption of processed foods and growing food poverty. At the launch of the Double Duty Nutrition Profiling System, which is expected to guide healthier food choices and support the implementation of key nutrition policies, Professor of the Public Health Nutrition, Amos Lah, said urgent attention must be paid to the trend, warning that obesity can lead to other non-communicable diseases.
One in every two Ghanaian, women are either overweight or obese. But that also has implications on our health. Once you have obesity itself and a non-communicable disease, you are then predisposed to other non-communicable diseases, including hypertension, heart diseases. So a country should then be interested in assuring and protecting the health of its citizens.
While Africa's fight for clean air is facing a funding crisis, the Clean Air Fund warns that with donor support shrinking and government grants drying up, the future of clean air investment looks bleak for countries like Ghana, where air pollution is estimated to kill about 32,000 people every year. The warning could have serious consequences. Ghana's delegation says more investment is urgently needed to grow the monitoring network and strengthen the country's response to air pollution. Clean Air Beat journalist Michael Ashale is in Pretoria, South Africa, and joins us from the forum. So, Michael, reports show funding for clean air is declining globally. What does this mean for Ghana? Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mami. So what we know so far is that already just about 1% of all the money that is spent around the world on air quality is what comes to Africa. You can imagine how these countries are going to even share it. The projection is that it's going to shrink further. So therefore, what the Clean Air Fund is suggesting is that government have to be more creative and innovative about how they search for these funds and how they also utilize it. So we can listen to one of the directors of the Clean Air Fund who spoke to me earlier today.
Okay, so the air quality management regulations mandates the EPA to control emissions from the different sources of air pollution that we know, from open burning, from industry, from transport, and the others. And you agree with me that if we have to manage air quality from those sources, data plays a key role, because the data will help us to know what the pollution levels are. So we are expected to extend the monitoring locations to all major cities and towns in the country.
Now, the Cybersecurity Authority says the National Identification Authority's intent to ensure businesses and organizations comply with the use of the Ghana card for verification will help in curbing fraud. The NIA, which has gazetted the NIA's regulations LI 2111, says compliance will strengthen identity verification as well as prevent the misuse of the card. Well, we've been speaking to the Cybersecurity Agency on this and its executive director, Divine Selassie Agbeti explains how helpful this directive would aid identify protection and also prevent cyber fraud.
Here at the cyber security, it is good news for us because you go to places, for example, hotels, other places, including banks, and